The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
2 weeks ago, the Swampers get a two-point extra point. They beat them. The Swampers. I mean, it's not... It's like... Falcons fans are like, okay, we're Chattanooga, and we're going to play Oregon in a game. No, no, no. This is an even game. Now, could the Commanders wipe the floor of the Falcons? Sure, of course they could. And that would mean the Commanders played a great game, and the Falcons played terrible. And that would be really disappointing to see. But the Falcons are a pretty good football team, too. Our Falcons have right now a better defense than the Commanders have. Let's keep that in mind. And while, you know, the rushing attack of Jaden Daniels and Brian Robinson, to some degree, against Austin Eckler of Washington is really good, guess what? So is ours. And Michael Penix adds a new dimension to that, doesn't he? To go along with that double-headed monster in the behind him that runs the ball. The Falcons can run the fight. Guys, we're pretty good. And the biggest thing I take away from it, and by the way, the one area where I just totally disagree with Michael, is that if you weren't watching that game last week and you did not see some of the throws that he made a throw to Drake going to his left, throwing back across his body 40 yards across the field that he dropped it in. It was like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah, okay, I can see that. Yeah, that was okay. That's the kind of throw that they went up to Seattle and watched him throw going, oh, my God, this guy's great. Yeah. This guy's good. Now, is it going to happen overnight? Is it going to happen right now? I don't know that. But the future, you can see the future, can't you? And he asked a question. Would you? What was it, the guy before, the Boston guy? Would you rather go in with Kirk Cousins or Michael Penix? Michael Penix! Have you seen the way Cousins played those? Well, I don't know what happened to the man. He disappeared, okay? He disappeared. The dude that was walking to your tap, take your trap swag surfing 500 yards against Tampa, that dude's gone. I don't know that he's ever coming back. So the answer is, yeah, I'd rather go in with Michael Penix, darn right, because that team had no confidence. And again, that confidence that was exuded, I'm going to be interested to see if what we saw against the Giants is a real thing, because I think it is. Now, could I be wrong? Sure. Have I been wrong before? Yes. Will I be wrong again? Yes. I was married. This is my second marriage. Okay, that's all I can tell you, okay? I mean, everybody in life is wrong. Okay, we all make mistakes, you know? So, hey, it's what it means to be human. But I can tell you that I saw a renewed vibe. Yeah, it's against the worst team in the NFL. Sure, but against the second worst team in the NFL, they had to survive two Hail Marys from DoorDash. Against the other team, which Falcons team was better? The one that played the Raiders or the one that played the Giants? Because I don't know about you, but it seemed to me that the team that played the Giants wasn't remotely close to the one that played the Raiders. Like they had a new energy and a new vibe. Now, I can't know. They could go up to Washington and lose 55-7, and I'm sitting around going, yeah, okay, all right, we got to reward. But it wouldn't change the fact that I still see the future now with I think Michael Penn. Look, there's a reason they had to take him at 8 after they paid a man $100 million. Okay? That's all I'm saying here. 404-726-0929. But that's just me. G's in Decatur. He's on with John. Hey, G.
Hey, what's going on, John? You can hear me all right?
I can indeed.
Hey, what's going on, John? You can hear me? Oh, okay. Making sure. First off, love you, man. Love the show. love, I mean, well, sorry, I love the station. You know, I miss you in the morning. But
yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm definitely a true Falcons fan, a true football fan. You know, I know there are a lot of people that are a little fair-winded in Atlanta. And just being honest, you know, like, you know, some of my closest people around me, they'll tell you, when the Falcons were 6-2 or 6-3, I still wasn't a full believer. And just saying that, I think that with the changes and stuff that have been made, going into this Washington game is probably the closest game to 50-50 I think we've seen in a while. I do like how they flexed it to the night game. I think it's definitely going to be a good one. But we still got a lot of holes with this team that we got to fix moving forward, which made me a little, I guess, unconfident with what we're going to be able to do Sunday. I know you say don't be scared, but as you know, being a Falcons fan so long, you know what I mean, you've been burned so many times that it's kind of hard to just jump back on board, you know. So just backtracking a little bit, like when the team was 6-3, I still was real concerned with the defense at the time. I still was real concerned with our third down percentages at the time. And, you know, just as you know, being a Falcons fan, it's like we never really have complimentary football. So once the defense started picking up, you know, Kirk Cousins fell off a cliff. So, you know, now that we have Michael Penix and it looks like the offense is able to be opened up, you know, is the defense going to be able to maintain what they've been doing for so long? And then another big point that's kind of got me a little hesitant about this Washington game is the fact that, you know, we did lose to Justin Fields. We also lost to Geno Smith. We lost to, what's his name, out there in Denver, Bo Nix. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to even leave Sam Darnold out of it because I think he may need a PED test the way he's been playing this year. But all those quarterbacks, I don't believe they're better than Jaden Daniels. Now, I could be wrong statistically on that, but with him being kind of a wild card factor, I think that, you know, he could possibly make our defense look like how it looked in previous weeks. And that's why I say it's a 50-50 thing. Do I think we're just all the way out of it? No. If they got blown out, would I be too surprised? No, not really. You know, so I think, and this is kind of sounding a little crazy as well, you know, I think that them switching to Michael Penix at the time that they did, you know, it wasn't kind of like, hey, you know, we really just think that he gives us the best chance to win, which he definitely does, but it was kind of almost like they're kind of putting their hands up on the season where, okay, if we don't make the playoffs, cool. At least he was able to get a few starts in, and that should boost us into next year. If we do make the playoffs, then, hey, that's even better for him. He gets more experience. We might lose in the first round, or who knows, we go on a run. So it's just – it's really a 50-50 game this week. And, you know, I kind of just want to hear your thoughts on that, you know, because you are definitely a Kool-Aid drinker. You've had me drinking Kool-Aid a couple times at the beginning of these seasons over the past few years, but I couldn't drink the Kool-Aid this year. I'm still concerned about some things. I know even Mike Johnson a while back, you know, was talking about how fundamentally on the offensive line, we still got issues. You know, as long as I've been a fan, I don't think I've ever really seen a Falcons lineman pulling guards, trap blocking, any of that. And it's like, what do we really need to be looking at foundationally to get us over the top, you know? And, yeah, I'm going to let you, you know, kind of give me a few comments on that.
No, no. I'm not going to argue with anything you said, and I've heard Mike say that before too. Bo Johnson, did I? Thank you, G. Did I say Super Bowl? Did I say, hey, oh, here we go? No.
I don't recall you saying that.
Okay. I only say that because, look, I know the team's got flaws and the team has things it's got to fix. And I even said I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but I wasn't really so much addressing that. It's just the scared nature of people of, you know, I understand, you know, not trusting them and you want to trust them, but there's no such thing as trust. Nobody goes unbeaten. Trust what? I mean, Georgia is probably the most complete team in college football, but maybe this Georgia fan out there is like, you know, sold that they're going to win the Natty. And they may. By the way, they may win the Natty. But I don't know. What are you getting out of Gunnar Stockton? I don't know. He may. By the way, Gunnar Stockton may be just what Georgia needed. But I have to see it, right? And so we'll have to see Michael Penix in a high. But I guess what I'm reacting to isn't the 50-50 nature, G. I'm 50-50 on this, too. This is going to be a hard game. It's going to be a difficult game. But, the boy, people just went, oh, there's no way we can go up there and win. What? Okay. I mean, all right, I guess. I mean, I'm not trying to. Look, it is what it is. At 6-3, they had a three-game lead. They were going into people's traps and taking their traps. You want to talk about beating quarterbacks? They beat Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. They beat Baker Mayfield twice. They had a chance to run away with this division. And I don't know what happened to the starting quarterback. I had no idea it was going to happen. You had no idea it was going to happen. Dude hit some wall and fell off a cliff. He fell. I don't think I've ever seen anybody. At 6-3, we're starting to talk. He's the number three passer in the NFL. Third in touchdowns, third in yards. And he falls off a cliff. I've never seen somebody hit a cliff like that professionally. Who's got a background? I'm not talking about a rookie or anything. He hit a cliff that I went, what in God's name was that? He went from, are we going to start to chatter about possible offensive player of the year and MVP if he has a big second half of the season, to he's benched for a rookie. So, all right, there we go. I mean, John's a Flowery Branch. I don't know, guys. I don't know what to tell you. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Fricky. Good to hear from you. Don't be so hard on Michael from Winder. If you had to live in Winder, you'd be miserable too. So,
Stop it. I got a good friend of mine who lives down in Winder. All right, what up?
I just wanted to call and offer you
down
some support. I actually have some confidence in the Falcons. And if you look at the way that we've played and the way the games have come out, you know, everybody's putting – so much talk on how the defense got beat in Denver and Minnesota or at the Chargers. But if you look at it, when you're giving the other team multiple turnovers and opportunities to score, it puts much more pressure on your defense. And it's put much more pressure on our defense. Our defense has actually played pretty damn good all year, in my opinion, and has actually kept us in a lot of games and won us a lot of games. And I think with this resurgence in the offense, it's, the running game is as solid as any team in the NFL, and all we have to do is let Penix get out there and get his feet wet and get comfortable in the offense. I don't see why we can't beat anybody. If you look at Daniels in retrospect, he's a great quarterback, but his high watermark for the year is 328 yards. And most of the games, he hasn't thrown for over 300 yards in any game except for one. And look at the teams that he's lost to. So he's a good quarterback, but, you know, if we can apply pressure and get in there and like Judon said, muddy the waters just a little bit, I think we have more than enough chance.
Do appreciate it. Thanks much. This portion of the Midday Show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. More of your calls, 404-726-0929. John Fricke and for Andy and Randy. I'm not trying to argue with you guys. I'm just trying to make my case. And I understand how you feel like you're going to get burned by that girl again. You're going to go out with her again, aren't you? Yeah, I know. I get it. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Midday show, John Fricke in for Andy and Randy today and tomorrow. The boys will be back on Monday, right? Yeah, I think so. I'd have to look at the schedule. I may be speaking out of turn. I know that Randy's on, or at least he's scheduled to be on with Carl from 2 to 7 today. If you're looking for the perfect gift this holiday season, Salomon Brothers has 1-carat total weight diamond stud earrings, tennis bracelets, necklaces, and rings for under $999. You shop Salomon Brothers Jewelers at SalomonBrothers.com. Look, I'm not trying to, you know, get into an argument with anybody here. I'm just trying to tell you how I kind of like to view things here. I have been burned as many times as there aren't many Falcons fans who listen to the station, who can call in, who've been burned more than me, if for no other reason, just by just the total sheer volume of time, okay? Because this is my 50th year, 50, of being a Falcons fan. And there are a few of, there are a few old-timers that have been, that are 50-plus, but they're not many. And so, I've had my share of being jaded by Atlanta sports, you know, 50 years of the Hawks. I not for them, you know, at least Falcons made a couple Super Bowls, probably should have made two more, but at least should have won one of them, but that's a different story. And, you know, United's got a title in the Braves, a couple World Series. It's not much to hang your hat on, I understand, but it's, you know, not zero. So, I mean, at least we got that. And I look, I'm under no precondition here that the Falcons are going to do much of anything if they do make the playoffs this year. I'm not expecting them. I think it would just be fun to have a playoff game at home. And if they win, hey, we go to the second round. And if they don't, okay, now next year. I mean, I'm okay with all this. I said 10-7 at the beginning of the year. They're tracking that way now. So none of this is bad. And actually, it's even better than I expected because, and how is it better, John? Because I can now see the future with Michael Penix. As opposed to, well, Penix is going to be right in the pie and we'll see what he does in 2026. I can actually see a future here with this guy. So that makes me excited about the future. Now, when it comes to being optimist or pessimist, my good friend A. Gordon is a pessimist. Okay, I'm not. I'm an optimist. He would rather be a pessimist who's surprised to the good by the upside by something good that happens, as opposed to me being an optimist who then gets, you know, let down. I can't worry about getting let down. I expect to be let down at times. That's the way life is. Life is going to let you down, right? It just is. And so I kind of bounce off the letdowns. The letdowns don't end me or stop me from being optimistic. I'm a glasses half full guy, and I'm optimistic about the future of the Falcons. Now, I'm also optimistic about this week. I think they'll go and play well. And yet I get a little bit kind of concerned a little bit by some of the Falcons fans who are just so in their feels about how, you know, they're going to go choke and they're going to blow it and why should I get excited? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Again, you do you and I'll do me. I'm not making light of this in any way, shape, or form. I understand why you would be on the downside of things. And, you know, he's a rook playing his second game, things of that nature. you know, Jaden Daniels was out there talking about Michael Penix, about how, you know, they had developed a relationship, you know, through the draft process and through the combines and things of that nature, and that he thinks he's going to be a really good player. Look, this class, as I mentioned, the Kyle Pitts, go back to the Kyle Pitts class in 2021 and the first three picks, how bad they were. You know, I mean, they were disaster picks, right? Just disastrous quarterback picks in Malik Willis and Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. And then Kyle Pitts was picked fourth. Well, he was of the top four picks, the best of the class of the top four picks, because the other three quarterbacks were a disaster. And there's just, I don't see any hope for any of them at this point. This last quarterback class with Drake May and Bo Nix and Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, now Michael Penix into the mix, a class where the Falcons said that Penix was 1 or 1A on their board of quarterbacks. They never said, by the way, who was number one. I think the presumption was that Caleb Williams was number one, but maybe they had Jaden Daniels number one and Penix 1A. And Caleb third, that's possible too. I don't know. They never said who their number one guy was on the board. But they came back from Seattle saying, okay, he's on an even keel with the number one quarterback, whether that's Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, which means, and because I can't believe it was Drake May or Bo Nix, which means they believe that he's better than Bo Nix. They believe that he's better than Drake May. I think my first blush is, I think that may be right. But it's only a first blush. He's only played one game. I mean, I know he was in for a cup of coffee and a couple of games that don't count. He's only played one game, and it was against the worst team in the league. Fine. It's fair enough. But it doesn't mean I'm not optimistic about the future. I am. I really liked what I saw from him. Now, could he go to Washington and face a different situation? Sure. And could we be having a different conversation come Monday? Sure. Of course. Absolutely. Will I be disappointed? Yeah. But is it going to kill me? No. And by the way, even if they do lose to Washington, it doesn't mean that it's over for them. Okay, it doesn't mean the hopes of the wild card would be over, but then again, the wild card is a pipe dream really anyway for all the things that would have to happen for them to get a wild card. But the good news for the Falcons is they can go, if they lose to Washington and Tampa beats Carolina, the good news is the Falcons are still alive. Now, they'd need help from the Swampers. They'd have to beat Carolina and have Tampa lose, but the good news is they can lose, Tampa can win, and the Falcons would still be alive. That is not true for Tampa. If the Falcons win and Tampa loses, game over in the NFC South. Okay? So we have a little wiggle room, not the wiggle room you want, because you don't want to have to count on anybody else now that you have it in your own hands to do it your own way. So go up to Washington, let's win a game. I don't care how you win it, just go up there and win a game. 404-726-0929. Kevin's in Suwannee. He's on with John. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, John. How you doing today, man? Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, happy holidays and all that good stuff. Well, I guess we got to start and say Happy New Year at some point.
I know. It's getting close. It's getting close. No, I think some of the problem, I think, stemmed from the beginning when we decided to get a quarterback that was coming off an injury that we didn't know if he'd be healed from. It takes about the normal human 12 months or so to fully recover from an Achilles. And having a great guy and a great leader, at some point, I don't know if his lower body couldn't support his arm and his arm went dead or whatever it was, but it's just as naive to think that a rookie is going to come in and save the season. I think Peyton Manning might have been the most studious, dedicated, prepared, and he had record interceptions. We've got a good class this year from some of the guys that have had some successes, but I'm kind of agreeing with G. Is like, man, we're kind of writing it off thinking that he's going to save it. I think our defense has played as good as we could have expected against the Chiefs, against the Chargers. We really had a chance to be in that game if we could have converted a couple of kicks or some sustained drives. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the future and, you know, hopefully we get into a playoff, but if we don't, I think we've got a quarterback that we could build with, but I don't expect him to save anything.
Well, I think he's saved it so far. I mean, in so much as they're back in first place and they control their own destiny. So I guess you give him credit for that.
Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't do a good job. I don't expect their rookie quarterback to come in the last three games of the season where we really need to win every game and to not have a moment where it could cost us a chance to go to the playoffs.
Oh, sure, of course he could. I mean, absolutely. Yeah, no, I totally understand that. Yeah, of course he could.
Yeah, I think he's got all the talent in the world.
Until he does it, sure.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's got great talent.
But I also think that, but I also look at it the other way too, which is maybe we just stumbled onto something. You know, he's not a true rookie quarterback. This isn't game one. We're not, you know, throwing him out there to the wolves. He's had basically a full year to prepare under a veteran like Kirk Cousins. You know, to see the game, to understand the game, to get to know the team. You know, it's not like he's walking out there cold and you're throwing him on stage without a script. You know,
right.
He's been the understudy here for a full year, in some respects, a little bit of a benefit.
Yeah, it just without the reps with the ones like we were talking about, they don't get to rep like they do in college. But I think he's got the arm talent that we hope as a franchise that we can have 12 years of him, like we did with Matt Ryan. And I think that the future is bright. We need a burner that can take the top off. And a pass rush, and I think we're set for moving forward with a franchise quarterback. I just think we maybe a little naive in what we thought the season was going to hold with an older quarterback that wasn't fully recovered, and thinking that we were going to go in and he was going to last the season. But
he's not injured. That's the thing. I mean, he has lasted the season.
Well,
he's not injured.
He wasn't ready when the season started. He wasn't fully healthy when the season started.
Yeah, but at the same time, but hang on though. At the same time, they're 6-3. He's third in the league in touchdown passes. Third in the league in passing yards.
Absolutely, I think he did a stellar job.
And then what happened? I don't know. You don't know. They're not saying.
No, absolutely, they're not going to tell us. But do you think that you spend $100 million on a guy that wasn't fully recovered? It doesn't. You don't recover in 6 to 8 months from an Achilles.
But he was fully recovered. But he was.
He was able to walk, for sure.
We're 6-3. Well, he's third in the league in passing yards and touchdowns, and you're 6-3. That's fully recovered. And then it's not like he got injured. I don't think so. I mean, they haven't said so. He popped on the injury report briefly for like a day. In limited practice because he got hit. He got in a game, and Joe Patrick was wondering when we were talking about whether or not, you know, he got. But if that were the case, and they put him into some kind of concussion protocol, or they knew something about his shoulder, they would have started prepping Michael Penix right away. I don't really know. I have no – look, I can't argue with anybody because we have no idea. Nobody has no idea what happened to him. It's between the ears. And suddenly
his arm – I watched him flat-footed off the sidelines and knowing he's not running the way that even Dan Marino could move around in the pocket, right?
He did scramble actually a couple of times in his last game. It wasn't pretty, but it wasn't like he was just standing still. He wasn't Joe Namath back there.
Arm strength or something. Yeah, yeah. He's not hitting the. He's not hitting the out routes. He's not hitting the dump offs like he was before.
But isn't it funny? In his last start, though, he threw that touchdown pass to Drake London that was really well thrown.
Yeah, he threw a couple of.
I know it's just
like
weird.
That. Yeah,
the whole confidence level thing.
It's just an unprecedented drop off. Yeah, I hated to see it.
Yeah, I know it just is. And by the way, I do want to say, and I appreciate the call because I got to get to a break here. Should the Falcons make the playoffs, I do at some point want to tip your hat to Kirk Cousins because he won you some really big. He beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia. He's the only guy to do it in the NFL, and he did it in the way he did it. Yeah, that's something. That counts. Beat Baker Mayfield twice, and if they make the playoffs and they're tied with Tampa, that's what won the playoff for them. Okay, so a little bit of credit to him. Just a little. I think he's due, if they do. That's all. Quick break. Midday show. John Fricke in for Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Midday Show, Andy and Randy back next week here. John Fricke in for them at 404-726-0929. This portion of the Midday Show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Look, guys and gals, as I get back to your calls here and your reaction to my social media discoveries over the weekend, which is that so many Falcons fans are so scared they need to buy a dog about going to this game against Dan. It's Coach Bro. Okay, don't we know what we're going to do? Okay. So, look, I've been wrong before in my life, believe me. Married a second time. You know, the first one I had to cut and took a serious cap hit on that one. Just not going to lie. But the second time I went in free agency, hey, it worked out really well for me. So, I mean, good. Good for me. But, look, this is not a case where I'm trying to blow smoke up your skirt here and say they're going to win a Super Bowl. Oh, my God, he's here, the savior, blah, 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 blah. He's going to win a Super Bowl. And, I mean, maybe he does next year, year after that. I'm not talking about now. I don't know what to expect. He is a rook. He could make some rookie mistakes. Matter of fact, I expect he will. He may have made some rookie mistakes that we just didn't necessarily see in the game, and they were playing the Giants. I understand all of those things. Keep in mind, the Giants have a better defense than the Washington Commanders, okay? Just I want you to know, Giants defense better than the Washington Commanders. So I don't know what's going to happen this week. I got a sense, and I'm just going on gut feeling of watching this franchise for 50 years, that there was something different. And it wasn't just the Giants. Oh, you're playing the worst team in the NFL. No, because we were playing the other worst team in the NFL the week before, and they got stupid DoorDash at quarterback, and he's getting two Hail Marys to beat us. Right? There was a different vibe on this team, an entirely different vibe last Sunday. Now, whether it was a one-off, I hope not, but boy, that looked like a rejuvenated ball club to me. So I'm going to kind of roll with that until proven otherwise. Now they go up there and get foot stomped here. Okay. But in the meantime, I'm going to go that route, I guess. I'm kind of there now. Kevin is in Riverdale. He's on with John. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. I feel for you, man. You know, with everybody being negative. But I think the Falcons are going to win, and I'll tell you why. Because if you look at our running backs are better. I think both rookies are solid. But our running game is better. Our defense is better. I don't know if you've been watching our special teams, but it's our time now. We're playing. Everybody's playing really well. I think they are a gunslinger team, you know, so they're not afraid to take chances because they got nothing to lose. And they've been playing that way. But we're a team that loves it when you throw the ball up and you just sling it around. You know, Jesse Bates is playing at an all-time high. So matchup-wise, I think we are the better team. We match up better. Everybody's healthy. I guess if our big receiver comes in healthy. But, you know, I'm positive about this matchup, and it's all about matchups. So,
yeah, well, Washington does have something to lose, by the way. They win, they clinch a playoff spot. If they lose,
no,
and then
I
lose
mean,
their final.
During this season, the way they've played other teams, the way they played the Eagles, you know, they take chances. You know, they had five turnovers in that game. If they have five turnovers against us, we win. So, also, you know, I don't like what happens with the referees and us. I don't like that. You know, we don't get the 50-50 calls. That's the only thing I'm worried about. But I like the way we match up against them.
Yeah, I do appreciate it. Yeah, I sit here and, you know, they play pretty clean football against the Giants. The referee thing, you know, to me there was one egregious call this year, really, really bad call. It was the Pitts call against Kansas City. Other than that, Falcons' problems have been of their own doing, not referee doing. You know, throwing interceptions. I mean, some of those, that's the inexplicable thing about Kirk Cousins. It wasn't that he was just, you know, one touchdown, nine interceptions in his last five games. It was how bad some of those interceptions were. I mean, they were noodle arm quitter, who, by the way, is the backup quarterback in Washington. You should know that. Noodle arm quitter's up there. If anything happens to Jaden Daniels, we'll not only play DoorDash, we'll play noodle arm quitter. I know. It's that kind of thing. Played Arthur Smith, now you're playing Dan Quinn. You play DoorDash, you could potentially play noodle arm quitter. I mean, who knows? Is anybody else out there? Good Lord. Tim is in Atlanta. He's on with John. Hey, Tim. Yo, Tim.
Yeah.
I put Tim on hold.
Hello?
Yeah, okay. I got you now. Is this still Tim?
Yes.
Okay.
So basically, I said before they got Kirk Cousins that he could move his feet and he was going to get in trouble. If you as a defensive coordinator, it's very easy to defend him, and they got it in his head. He can't move his feet, and if you play man press and bring the line at him, you know what I'm saying, it's very easy to defend. So all those games that he's won, he threw like one game without interception. Even the game of the week that he won, he threw interceptions, two interceptions. I was at that game. So basically, I told him he's getting older, and a good defensive coordinator is going to catch up with him, because who can't coach a sitting duck?
Yeah, some teams didn't. He threw for 500 yards against Tampa and set an all-time Falcon, broke Matt Ryan's record for most yards passing in a game.
Yeah, he threw two interceptions that game out there.
Yeah, but he threw five. Okay, but he also set a single-game franchise record for most yards passing and beat the Buccaneers. So after that, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what happened to him. He just fell off the face of the earth.
A good defensive coordinator will catch up.
No. You don't go from third in the league after nine games. Okay, after nine games. It wasn't like they made an adjustment after two. After nine games, he's still slinging it, okay? And all of a sudden, he's gone. He just disappears into the ether.
Yeah, a good defensive coordinator.
No, that's not. I'm not buying that. I'm not. I'm sorry. It's a him thing. It's not the other team.
Then he got in his head.
No, I appreciate it, Tim, but I'm not buying that. You don't go from. Bo, you see what I'm saying? You don't go nine games. You know, every defensive coordinator was trying to stop him, and they didn't. And suddenly, he can't throw it 2 feet without bouncing it. I don't know what happened, but there was something that happened to him. He lost all of his confidence. He looked shaken back there, didn't he?
I don't think he's healthy. I really do think it's even if it, you know, you're never really back to 100% playability until 2 years removed from these major surgeries, right? You can come back and play, sure. But you're never as good as you were to at least 2 years removed. I think he might have had a setback. Maybe he had some soreness. You know, we've seen, you know, Mike Soroka is a great example of all these Achilles setbacks that he had. You know, doesn't mean that might have torn again, but irritation or soreness or something. There's got to be something there. It was a pretty steep drop off.
Yeah, I know. It's such a steep drop off. It was such a wall. That it was like, because it wasn't just the defense coordinators didn't design him throwing a ball, you know, into triple coverage in the end zone. That's very DoorDash. The defense coordinators didn't design him overthrowing his wide receiver by 8 yards to a wide open defensive back who's running a route. I mean, that wasn't a design thing. Defense coordinators didn't, design him bouncing balls in front of receivers. I don't know. Something got in his headspace. It happens, and something got in dude's headspace, and he just got kind of gone. Jackson is in Canton. I understand what Tim is saying, that you can design around him, but at the same time, something happened. Maybe both are true. Hey, Jackson, welcome to the show.
Hey, sir. So I just wanted to discuss the Falcons defense and how they could contain Jaden Daniels. So I feel that if they can play a little bit of the blitz, but also some man coverage, I feel like they have a pretty good shot at containing Jaden Daniels. Because, I mean, if he scrambles, because he's been great against blitzing teams, that he's gotten out of the pocket, scrambled, and I feel like if we can blitz him, add a little bit of pressure and play that kind of game, I feel like we got a great shot on their defense.
No, oh, it may be true. How old are you, Jackson?
14, sir.
Hey, listen, I wasn't calling shows at 14. Props to you. I didn't have the guts to do it. I barely have the guts to do it now, and I'm
pretty nervous, but it's all right.
But anyway, no, I mean, look, yeah, it's a contained thing. You're absolutely right. You could, you know, try and keep him, you know, in the pocket and try and, you know, hope that Jesse Bates has a big game. And look, he's going to get his,
yeah.
Jackson. He's going to get his. They're going to score 24, 27, 31 points. You just have to. The best way, really, in my opinion, Jackson, to contain him is to go on long drives, to own the clock. You know, he'll make a mistake. If you can get him, you know, if you can go on a long drive to open the second half, get him to make a mistake, go on another long drive, suddenly you're 3 minutes into the second quarter and he's had four snaps in the half. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I also feel that if Michael Penix can, you know, go out, sling it, you know, find Drake London. Hopefully he plays this week. And, you know, and we can stick with that run game because I feel like Bijan Robinson can definitely beat up Washington's defense. I feel like he definitely can. So if we can go Michael Penix sling it and we run the ball and get on that run game, I think we got a good shot at winning.
I do, too. And Jackson, that's a great thing. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you who, Jackson, I appreciate the call, who agrees with you, Jackson, because he mentioned it to me in the break. That would be Bo. Bo, what did you tell me in the break about the Eagles? Bo answering a phone call here. You have to understand, I can't see Bo.
Sorry about that. Here I am.
So, yeah, no, I know. I know you got 1,000 things going on, and we don't have a video hookup here. What were you telling me about Saquon and the Eagles against the Commanders?
So the Commanders allowed that offense to put up almost 400 yards of offense. Look, Jalen Hurts went out in the first quarter, 11th play, something like that. So he was, you know, he had some rushing stats on there, I think. But most of it was Kenny Pickett and Saquon. All right, we have our very own Saquon Barkley. And you have to believe that Michael Penix Jr. is better than Kenny Pickett, who's lost his job and found a new team as a backup. All right, that should make Falcons fans have a lot of positivity. If that offense with Kenny Pickett being leading it, we have a receiver every bit as good as A.J. Brown and Drake London if he plays. Man, there should be a lot, you're right. There should be a lot more positivity heading into Sunday Night Football.
Well, we'll see. I mean, again, I understand why people get a little bit antsy. We're talking about a rook playing his second game. You're talking about Jaden Daniels. We've been burned by running quarterbacks, you know, last year with the whole thing about, you know, Josh Dobbs pulled off the scrap heap and Kyler Murray running around on us. I get it. You know, I totally understand. I also understand those that look at Kirk Cousins and say that, you know, look, there's something wrong with his confidence. There's something could be wrong physically. There could be, you know, some scheming that's been done against him. All three could be true. Whatever. The dude hit a wall doing 180, okay, and stopped cold. So we are where we are. Let's just hope the rook is the guy and that he can go up there and handle business like he did against the Giants. Top of the hour as we head towards, what is it going to be today? Dukes and McMichael. On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.